Okay, well, I'm going to assume everything's fine then. Welcome to Wubble Up a Pod Pod, everyone. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex. Welcome.
And today we're reviewing season 1, episode 7 of Rick and Morty. I believe it is called Raising Gazorpazorp.
Raising Gazorpazorp.
Gazorpazorp.
That's what we're going to try to do, attempt to raise a whole planet called Gazorpazorp. Just kidding.
Yes.
Just one little Gazorpian.
Just to make it as meta as possible, we're going to raise a child from birth to adulthood in the span of this podcast.
Yes.
Deal with it. It's going to be a little gory. There's going to be some strong sexual themes.
Yeah.
A lot of weird sound effects that I have to make with my mouth.
Oh, God.
You
and me have been warned.
Use your imagination.
Yes. Freely.
Yeah, no.
Please.
Obviously, not really. But, you know, use your imagination and pretend that we did that.
Yeah. Why not? See. Oh, look. I want to do a thing.
Do a thing, please.
Are we in beer with Buffy suddenly? No, we're not. But
definitely
that's a sister
not.
Podcast. That's a sister.
That's the one.
Book.
That's the one. Great timing. I was just about to open my Schwein.
Oh, ASMR opening wine.
It's not going to be as satisfying, at least not at first, as opening a can or a bottle. But
just wait for it.
Yeah.
And if you become a patron, you can look at us right now.
Yeah, you look do get to watch the little arms of the corkscrew go up like a little dude in
getting
the Olympics.
Excited. Yeah.
Getting real excited. That's me getting so excited, being proud of myself. Now I get to pull those arms down and be like, no.
Oh.
And the cork is out. So
wow.
Now there's nothing left to do except drink and be sad that the cork is out.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can do that.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I did.
Just FYI, for the people who aren't looking at our faces for some reason, we are both wearing Rick and Morty t-shirts.
Ooh.
And you're missing it. So
yep.
We look extra cute.
Yeah. I don't know where you got this shirt, but I love that it's actually kind of it's not an official Rick and Morty shirt. Mm-hmm. And it references one of the quickest moments of Rick and Morty history. It's really, it's a very hipster reference, because it's Teddy Rick, who only appears for like
2 seconds. Yeah.
Maybe only 2 seconds, and before he kills himself, so he can reanimate himself in a different pod. I don't know the name of the episode. It'll be a while before we get to that one.
If you know the name of the episode and the minute / second that happens, call us at... Just kidding.
Do we have a number? I don't think we have
yet. I just wanted to do...
But if you want,
I love when you do the number thing at Beer with Buffy. Do it.
Well, but you can give us a call at 269-743-0783. And leave us a voicemail for Beer with Buffy. And I'll get the message either way.
we'll get the message. It's fun to say a number. Just say it. It's fun to say a number.
Yeah, it is. It is. We should get one.
Yeah.
Or we can just use the Beer with Buffy. Honestly, I'd rather just use the Beer with Buffy number.
Yeah. It's like super catchy. I love how you say it.
Thank you. Yeah. And I don't need to waste any more brain space with another phone number.
True.
I'm always surprised that I can remember that number in the moment, because I try to think of it outside of recording and I can't think of
it. It does not work. Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. What are you, in the 90s? Like, you remember numbers out of your head? What?
I know, right? Like, I used to actually, in the 90s, have at least 10 to 20 phone numbers memorized at any point in time. Mostly
incredible.
Because that was kind of a lifeline. I needed to be able to call my home, my grandmother's home, my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, a handful of other places.
911, probably.
Yeah. that's a rough one to remember, actually.
Yeah.
Quick, what's the number for 911? Take my wife. Oh, please. Which is not Alex, by the way. We're not we're not married yet.
Put a ring on it first and then we'll talk.
That's the idea.
Yeah. It has to be a gummy ring because I want to eat it. Just saying.
Nice. Now you're talking my language. See, I wasn't serious about this engagement, but now you got me thinking.
Hey.
Oh my. Will they, won't they? There's a reason to listen to this podcast.
There you go.
We clearly don't talk about Rick and Morty.
No. Right, we are trying to stay within the hour.
In the meantime, if you want to review us on iTunes, that'd be great.
Yes, please do that. Do it. Okay. If you don't do it, you might get pregnant and die. Just saying.
Specifically from the pregnancy. Actually, no, the pregnancy has nothing to do with the death. That's just multiple coincidences at the same time. And that makes it even more tragic because then your baby dies too. Well, then we'll save the baby.
We'll save the baby.
It'll be a little premature, but he's going to be just fine. Or
but
she.
We can't save both, so correct. Too bad for you. Just a little fun fact. I pulled out a tarot card. No time to laugh.
Just now you pulled out a tarot card?
Yeah, I pulled out a tarot card for this recording of the episode, just kind of like asking the universe, like, hey, give me a little message about this recording that we're about to do.
Well, that's
and
fun.
The card that I pull, I am showing right now on screen. It's from one of my favorite tarot decks from The Wizard of Barge, and it is The World. The World, everybody.
The World.
If you know, you know. If you don't, sucks for you, Bo.
I don't, and it does suck for me.
Well, there you go. Just in general, it's going to go well.
Excellent.
Yeah. So
that's my favorite thing, when things go well. Cool. Me too.
Okay. Are you ready to get into it?
Hey, we actually have somebody trying to chat with us on the live stream.
What?
Scuba Goldfish 45.
That's
hello.
My dude. That's my number one fan. I love him. Scuba,
Nino.
Thank you. Oh my God, Scuba, thank you so much for like just dropping by. I appreciate you so much. That dude is legit.
Cool. And now I'm going to close the chat box because we can't be distracted by that shit.
No, we can't. But
sorry.
We love you and appreciate you, Scuba.
That is correct. Well, Alex does anyway. I have no idea who you are, but I can only take Alex's word for it.
Trust me. He's cool. He's cool. Trust me.
Yes. Love it when people are cool.
Yeah.
That's my other favorite thing.
Okay, so is this it? Are we starting?
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Oh my God.
Glenn's bleeding to death.
Oh my God. I am like totally fine.
The squirrel's
bleeding.
Oh
my God.
Oh jeez, I'm so down with my parents' divorced dog.
What is my purpose?
If God exists, it's f***ing me.
Go love this. I call it Cheerio.
I'm sorry, I'm not a classic maternal archetype.
Today on Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, on this episode of Rick and Morty, we start off at a space pawn shop.
Wait! Today, we are reviewing Season 1, Episode 7, called Racing a Zorbasaur. We mentioned it at the beginning, but just so in case you forgot.
I said that.
Okay, sorry.
Doesn't hurt
just
to say
case.
It again. No problem.
Just in case we forgot.
I thought you were going to say exactly the same thing that I said. You were going to be like, no, no. We start off at a space pawn shop, and
the entire planet is the pawn shop, right? It's one of those tiny planets.
You know, now that you mention it, I knew there were going to be some Easter eggs that I missed. And now that you mention it,
there you go.
The rest of the planet was the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's probably a moon of a planet somewhere.
Yeah.
But either way, it's funny.
So what's going on at the pawn shop, Josh?
Well, Alex, Rick is arguing with a pawn shop owner who has testicles for a chin, which seems to really be a repeating theme throughout
the
series.
I think I'm just so used to it that I didn't even notice it.
Don't even notice anymore. Yeah. There's so many different aliens that have testicles on weird parts of their body, usually their chins, though. Mm-hmm. And this pawn shop owner is no exception. And he wants 70 smidgens, goddammit, for a broken defraculator. Rick counteroffers 60 smidgens and a fart. I thought that was a good deal. But Morty, in the background here, is eyeballing this sex robot because it looks cool, hard air quotes. And he wants to have something to remember Rick by.
In case he dies, you know.
Just in case. Just in case Rick dies. And I mean, we happen to know from having watched way ahead of this episode that Rick can in fact die and dies often in many other dimensions. So, but Rick remembers all too well what it's like to be a teenager. And even though his tone here is very, yeah, yeah, whatever, it'll shut the kid up, I'm sure he knows how much of a game changer that could be for a teenage kid like Morty. Like, personally, I'm just going to expound on this a little bit. Please. I think sex robots should be a standard issue at the age of 13.
Okay.
Probably prevent a lot of teenage pregnancies and dudes turning into rapists if they have a sex-positive, supportive outlook and something harmless to direct their sexual energy at.
You know what? That kind of makes sense, though.
It kind of makes sense. Or maybe I'm just an old perv. Why not both? Why not?
Why not both? Why not?
Pero no los dos. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. That's Spanish, isn't it?
Por qué no los dos?
Por qué no los dos? That's
right. There you go. I love how the shot, I did a little drawing of it. I love how the shot, while Morty is trying to convince Rick to get the sex robot, is like half of the screen is just the boobs. Yeah. And it's like, so you don't forget what we're really talking about. And Morty's like, no, I mean, I think it's just like a really cool thing. And it's like, no, dude, it's just boobs, you know.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 60 smidgens for the broken defraculator and my grandkid wants the sex robot. And I love the look on Morty's face. He's like,
That's actually the same face that I have in my tattoo, in my Rick and Morty tattoo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I didn't know you had a Rick and Morty tattoo. When did that happen?
Dude, you did know.
Maybe I did know and I forgot. It's been a minute.
I've had these for over a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of the newest ones, but yeah.
Neat. I'm still not sure that you ever showed me that. I'm positive that you never showed me that.
Well, now you know.
Okay. But no, it's just hilarious that he really thought that he was pulling one over on Rick.
Yeah.
And not for half a heartbeat did Rick fall for it.
No.
Kids.
Yeah. And then opening credits.
Opening credits.
Then I was going to start to analyze the opening credits, but then I forgot that. I mean, then I remember that we're going to do that at the end of season one. So stay tuned for that.
And if it changed per episode, that would maybe be called for. But we're going to cover all that at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It does change per season, I think.
Correct. Yeah.
First time it changes. We're talking about it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. So cut to, there's a shot of the ceiling lamp swaying. Paired with the rhythmic humping. Situation.
Yeah.
And then the shot opens and it's like the Smith family just trying to have a nice breakfast, but they're all clearly awkwardly trying to ignore the humping, but they can't. And then until Summer speaks up and he's like, are we going to pretend this isn't happening or what? I mean, it's fine if we are, but just to know.
I love that she's accepting the denial at an early age.
Yeah.
She's a wise woman.
Yeah. And then, of course, Jerry starts blaming Rick and being like, why did you let him bring that thing here? Rick plays dumb and he's like, he just thought it would look cool. What do you want from me? Blah, blah, blah.
He resorts straight to Morty's shitty excuse that he shat all over.
Yeah.
Like, what? Rick is a special guy. He's fucking special. Yeah. I gotta give him that. Not necessarily special in a good way, but he's fucking special.
And then I think this is when Morty comes down all sweaty and just drinks the orange juice.
In his boxers.
In his boxers.
No shirt. Not trying to hide anything. They all know exactly what's going on.
Everybody knows what's going on.
I'd have been fucking mortified.
Right?
If I ever suspected that my family knew that I was masturbating in the next room.
To this day, I make sure nobody is at home or they're downstairs with the TV really loud or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't need to make sure that nobody's home, but I do need to be reasonably certain that nobody's going to come barging in or be anywhere near my bedroom anytime soon.
Exactly. These people, they're way too comfortable with each other.
I mean, I don't masturbate.
I mean, me neither.
Ever. Ew, that's gross.
Because then you can grow hair in your hands. So we don't want that, right? Ooh, that's what I heard.
Get enough of that from petting cats. Dogs.
So he drinks the orange juice straight out of the carton.
Uh-huh.
Just descarado. Rude. In Spanish, you would say descarado, okay? If you know, you know. And then he's like, okay, back upstairs. Okay, bro, shut the fuck up. And the humping continues.
He didn't even try to make an excuse.
No, just back like,
to
for a while.
Back to, he could have said back to exercising. Nothing.
No.
Nothing. Just no. Back upstairs.
No effort. And then, of course, Jerry wants to intervene. Beth doesn't think intervening would help. Because intervening with puberty? No. Then he's going to end up as who?
She pronounced it so weird. Yeah. And I'm not familiar with this actor, and I had to look up the movie.
I'm sorry.
She pronounced it Ray Fiennes or some shit like that.
Oh, okay. But that's why I didn't. Yeah.
It's Ralph. It looks to me like Ralph Fiennes.
He's the person who plays Voldemort, by the way.
Oh, is that the same actor? Okay.
That's him. Yeah.
That's cool.
But I don't know his work from Red Dragon, I think is the movie she referenced.
Yeah. So Red Dragon is, I want to say, it's the prequel to Silence of the Lambs. So it's Hannibal Lecter with Anthony Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe, I'm not 100% positive, but similar to Silence of the Lambs, where a detective is using Hannibal Lecter's experience and expertise and knowledge, even though he's a sicko. They're using him to try and track down another sicko serial killer. Uh-huh. And Rafe Fiennes. He plays the character Francis Dollarhide, who is the serial killer in question throughout the movie, besides Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and his shtick is he's got a dragon tattoo on his back, and it doubles as his, like, alternate personality that tells him who to kill.
Okay.
Hmm. And I think also he's gay and hooks up with Hannibal Lecter at some point in the movie.
Wow.
So that's fun.
Okay. Well, that's that. Mm. I did not get that reference, but whatever.
Well, she's basically just saying you're going to turn Morty into a weird serial killer.
Inferred something.
Yeah. So, you know, don't do that. And I think she's right. I think she's onto something. Maybe don't tell him he can't masturbate.
Yeah. But she does say, like, let's just be proud of him. And I'm like, proud?
And Summer rightfully questions if she really set the bar that low.
Yeah.
Yes, it is your fault, Summer. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I do have a note here that I asked Josh about his teenage masturbation. How was it for you, Josh?
Wow. Wow.
Was it something you had to hide a lot, or were you encouraged and like proud of it, or?
Okay. So it was definitely a don't ask, don't tell. Don't tell kind of situation. Mm. I think my mom found porn on the computer one time or in the web search history. And it was the most awkward experience probably of both of our lives when she was like,
oh no.
Hey guys, can you not look up that kind of stuff? And then well into adulthood, she tried to ban sexual activity from the house. And I was like, okay, whatever. Sure, mom. Or basically, she told my brother that he couldn't have sex with his wife when they were staying the night, even though, you know, they like lived somewhere else. I'm like, Jesus, you fucking Puritan. Okay, whatever.
oh, no.
But
so the opposite of Beth's approach, basically.
Yes. Yeah. not going to lie. I had a lot of sex at my mom's house.
You heard it here first.
But that doesn't really answer your question. What was masturbation like for me? Mm. I mean, relatively healthy in the grand scheme of things, I guess. You know, I took care of my business. Don't ask, don't tell. Nobody told me not to. And mm-hmm. I didn't turn out to be a serial killer. So Jerry's on to something, or Beth is on to something.
Yeah, it works. It works. Yeah. Just healthily masturbate, kids.
Yep.
In privacy, please. Preferable. Yep.
There was a note for kids, not to masturbate the kids. Don't do that.
No.
That's a bad idea. Wanted to clarify.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah.
Okay, so then suddenly, let's continue. Morty. So after summaries, Morty comes down like very kind of upset and worried, and he's like, Rick, can you help me, like, please come really quickly? And then Rick, no questions asks, like, he just runs upstairs immediately.
Yeah, I was impressed with that.
Yeah. And then Beth is like, okay, now if we hear squeaking, we intervene. Why would you assume that, man?
Yeah, right. Well, first of all, I really do respect this moment where Rick does not question Morty at all and just does what he asks. And I don't know if it's because he respects Morty or if it's because he heard the panic in his voice or if it's because he at any point in time knows that a billion things can go wrong with weird alien shit that you just brought into the house.
Yeah, he like maybe kind of expected something to happen.
He's like not really surprised. And now Beth is like, okay, now if we hear squeaking, we intervene. And you know, if your dad is engaging in mutual masturbation with your son, that's an inappropriate thing and it might be time to intervene. I'm going to agree.
Yeah, we all agree in that. Hopefully.
Which, that's the subtext of the joke. Nevertheless, the way that they wrote it, it's just funny. It shouldn't be that funny because of what it means.
Yeah.
But the way they portrayed it, hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Ha ha ha.
Ha 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 ha. Oh. Oh my.
And then tits. I don't know if this is a separate scene because is it a separate scene every time they change location? Because in that case, next scene is like upstairs in Morty's room.
That's how I divide it up every time they change location. Yeah.
I think that's it. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the one with the degree in communication and digital media, but here I am asking you, the one with the degree in theater. So.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. Probably. Yeah. I don't know.
So what happens upstairs?
In Morty's room, there's a weird orb bouncing around the room, and Rick's like, where's the sex robot, Morty? And he's like, that is Gwendolyn! I mean, the sex robot! Oh my god, Morty is so fucking Gwendolyn, isolated.
Bro.
He's so isolated and lonely that he has to name his sex robot.
Oh.
I mean, my first thought is, like, what's wrong with the way we raise kids that this seems normal to me?
Think about it for a sec.
Mental health issues with clear causes of neglect and poor socialization. Oh, God. Yeah. But Rick cracks a joke about it being the man's job to fly off after sex.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is he wrong, though?
Is he wrong?
And he does us the kindness of advertising our podcast name real quick. He goes, wubba a pod pod. Yeah. I mean, dub dub. You remember that, Morty? Remember when I cemented that a couple episodes ago?
Remember?
Yep.
It literally was last episode at the end.
Specifically for that podcast by Josh and Alex. Remember that, Morty?
Yeah, he says that. Did you hear
it? He said that.
Mm-hmm. He said it. So there you go.
But actually, no. So he's doing his fourth wall breaking moment where he knows he's on a TV show, but Morty doesn't. Anyway, Rick tries to grab the orb, presumably to take it to his lab. I don't know what his end game was here, but he's grappling with it for a second, and clearly it's stronger than him, and it bounces him up and down on the bed a few times. And immediately, Beth and Jerry and Summer all come running in, like, okay, unacceptable. Oh. And so they're relieved to see that Rick is, in fact, not jacking off Morty.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
They keep making little subtle nods at the original pilot episode, which is just entirely Morty jacking off Rick.
Can I just say, so a little parenthesis here. I just remember that in my quest to find all the Rick and Morty fans, I went on Twitter. I know, mistake, but you know.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And... with like under the Wubba Lubba Pod Twitter account, I started kind of like looking for other Rick and Morty accounts. And I found one that specifically is dedicated to kind of just ship Rick and Morty, just unapologetically.
Oh, shipping them.
Yeah, they love just being like, oh my God, Rick loves Morty so much. And like, it does get sexual sometimes. And I'm like, what? Huh. What? Huh. But you know, to each their own, but like, you know, ship away.
Yeah, sure.
But if I don't know. It's just, it's.
That's totally healthy.
A little odd to me. But
completely okay. Not judging that, even a little bit.
You know what? Shout out to that Twitter account. I can't remember the handle, but shout out to you, my friend.
Yeah.
You do you.
Good. Yeah. You whatever makes away. You happy.
Yeah.
All your kitty cats trying to jump up.
My cat is being so annoying. Can you stop?
I'm surprised neither of my roommate's cats are bothering me. This is kind of impressive, actually.
It's my turn, I guess. So anyways, we can continue.
Yeah, actually, no, I think that's a fun junction. I remembered what we should have talked about at the beginning, because our last episode, we were like, yeah, fuck Justin Roiland.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to piss off so many listeners with that. And I just wanted to say, by the way, still fuck Justin Roiland, but not because we're positive that he's guilty of any crimes of, you know, sexual or weird
or domestic violence or
domestic violence, kidnapping charges. So we'll never know probably if he's guilty of anything like that, or at least the trail has gone cold. And I just wanted to make a distinction.
Yeah.
That I just don't have any sympathy for him, you know?
Yeah. I think I did see something that he put out after he was declared not guilty or something. And he was just basically being like, this has ruined my life. Boo boo me. Like, poor me. You don't know how much it's affected me and my career and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I'm just like, well, I just have no feelings about that. I'm just like, yeah. Sucks for you.
I was talking about it with somebody and I thought I had this all worked out. But I think the difference that I decided here is, first of all, believe women.
Oh, yeah.
I find it very difficult to believe that his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend or that anybody would falsely accuse him of that just because he got big and famous and rich and they thought they would cash in on it. That seems extremely unlikely to me. Not impossible. But they had to know that it was an uphill bullshit battle that they were never going to win, especially if it wasn't true. Yeah, so the difference between him and other people who've gotten a bad rap is they don't have any allegations against them from people that we should just give the benefit of the doubt. So I'll never be able to look at him the same again. And regardless of whether or not he's legally guilty of anything, morally, yeah. Where am I going with this? Whatever, he's set for life. He's been more successful than most artists ever get to be.
Yeah.
Financially, he's set for life. So if he's really meant to come back and work on Rick and Morty, he'll work it out. I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
The system is on his favor just for being a cis white heterosexual male.
Yeah.
In this capitalist world, I'm just tired of this thing happening again and again with all of the things and shows that I love.
What? And a rich and powerful white male took advantage of a woman? No.
Can you believe it?
Can't believe it.
Speaking of gender politics, am I right?
Yeah. Am I right or am I right?
Am I right or am I right?
Am I right, ladies and gentlemen?
So, just to be clear, I don't support Justin Roiland. I still love Rick and Morty, just as always.
If we had to give up every TV show that was intricately
involved with nothing
with some sort of douchebag, we wouldn't be able to watch any TV at all ever.
Exactly. Unfortunately, in this fucked up world, this is the reality. So
it's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't complain if he came back, but I'm also not complaining if they keep him gone. I'm pretty neutral on the matter. I think they'll replace him just fine.
Correct.
So anyway.
Anyway.
And I always will be.
Yeah, so the family's watching and they're equally confused at what the fuck that orb thing is, just as it hovers over Morty and spits out it gives birth to a gross
goop. Yeah, it literally it
births a gross alien baby right into Morty's arms. And then it transforms back into the sex robot on the bed and crawls over to Rick. I didn't realize the robot was actually had autonomous movement. I thought it was basically just a doll, but hey, that's even better. Bonus.
Yeah.
Good for Morty. And for the Kazorpians, the male ones anyway. Mm-hmm. Or the female ones. Whoever wants to,
play with it.
Yeah, exactly. So Rick, he immediately starts dismantling it and finds, there's a baby maker in there. And he pulls out a laser gun and he's ready to take care of it by murdering the little baby, much to the entire family's unanimous objection.
Wait! Hold on! Pause! I'll be
pausing,
right back.
Pausing.
This is my moment to shine.
Welcome back.
Look!
Hey!
Have the, what is it, laser gun?
It's Rick's laser gun, yeah.
Yeah, I have it. What?
Good job on owning specialty brand toys.
Capitalism. Anyways.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Leave it back here. This is potentially the almost murder weapon.
Almost. Oh, I mean, almost. It's definitely a murder weapon.
Well, yeah. Correct.
Just not of this particular scene. Because nobody gets murdered.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Surprisingly, yeah. And because Beth argues that it's half human and a living thing, which is kind of crazy to hear coming from Beth, knowing where her character arc goes a few seasons from now. But, all these characters are so young, canonically. It's weird to go back and watch them. And you get to watch them grow again. It's like raising Gazorpazorp almost.
It is.
Jerry starts to argue that it's born on American soil.
Oh my God.
And Beth shuts him down so fast, I didn't have time to feel bad for him. She's like, Jerry, you're the one that majored in civics. Don't punish the rest of us for it. And I'm like, damn. Burn.
Who majors in civics?
Anyway. Kelso from 70s show, burn so hard right there. Oh my God.
There you go. That's a burn. Yep.
So Rick protests that this thing could grow to be the size of Delaware, but tells them to keep an eye on it while he takes the robot to his shop to do some research on it because it may seem harmless now, but it could grow into something dangerous.
Jerry says, like the insane clown posse.
Good one, Jerry. 2003 just called. They want their easy target back. And while Morty adores his own genes and Beth promises it'll become a monster, Jerry is furiously thinking of his retort to Rick, and honestly, it's more clever than I had expected it to be. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little wordy, but he pulled it together, and that's really what's impressive. He says, hey, 1995 called. They want their certain year wanting its blank back formula back. Which, actually, I had to think about it for a little bit, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Did that really start in 95, though? That's what I want to know.
That's the question.
I don't think it matters.
Sounds
However,
right.
It's so meta, though, because he's using the formula that he's saying is a lame formula.
Beth, of course, puts him down. He's like, Jerry, why expend the effort? Yeah,
she does almost nothing but shut him down this entire episode. It's kind of impressive. Yeah, she just hates Jerry so much. Why are they even married?
Because he got her pregnant. There we go. Meta.
That's right. All right, cut to the garage.
Wait, Jerry says the line, life is effort and I'll stop when I die. Let's think about it for a second.
Okay.
Isn't that super true?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of how it goes, whether that's your intention or not.
Yeah.
I guess you can give up well before death.
I guess. But not Jerry. He's stubborn.
I'm sorry, I keep eating.
He keeps eating blueberries. What? Raspberries? Some kind of berry.
Blackberries.
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 So, anyway, cut to Rick's garage. He's like, messing around inside the sex robot's torso when Summer walks in. Enter Summer. And since he can't solve the problem how he wants it, he's going to try to find suitable parents for Morty Jr., as we will... Did he name him already? I don't think so. But for the Garsorpian baby, essentially, by figuring out where this robot comes from, which planet.
Morty Jr., he did. Yeah, he named him last scene.
Okay.
Because that's why Rick didn't kill him. He's like, don't name him Morty Jr. Oh, you named him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So yeah, Morty Jr. So he figures out that the sex robot comes from Gasorpasorp in the Andromeda system.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of, yeah, he opens the portal to like go there. And that's when Summer is like, oh, do you need a new companion now that Rick, now that Morty is the family way? And that's when Rick says, I don't do adventures with chicks.
Yeah, he just blatantly, it's like, no, it's no girls allowed. Like, all right. Yeah.
All right, misogyny. I see you.
No, seriously.
sexism was up. So, yeah, so Summers tries to argue like, oh, because there's like a reason why me not having a penis is going to prevent me from going through a portal, blah, blah, blah. And that's when she gets snatched by something from the other side of the portal into the hole. And then horribly, yeah.
She does say wiener instead of penis. And I don't know why that's infinitely funnier.
Yes.
Ha, wiener.
Wiener, yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Adventures in Babysitting?
I don't think I have.
It's a classic 80s film about a babysitter who is taking care of these kids, and she has to go run an errand, and she has to take the kids with them because she can't leave them there at home alone. And then they end up going on this whole series of fucked up events ends up going down, and there's this B plot thread of her friend who's lost in the subway, and she's lost her glasses and she's blind without her glasses, and she's really hungry and she's trying to get a hot dog at a vendor stand, and she's doesn't have any cash on her. She tries to pay card in the 80s at a vendor stand. So and he's like, well, it's cash only, lady. And she's like, well, I don't have any cash and I'm really hungry. And this line that sticks in my head forever is he throws down the hot dog and he says, then I don't have a wiener. See, I brought it home.
Oh, there you go.
Took me a minute, but I got there.
Full circle to the wiener.
Full circle.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, no. Okay.
One of the most memorable lines.
Apparently, we've been referring to penises as wieners since the beginning of time, probably.
At least in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, but it dates back pretty far.
Yeah, I believe it. Then Summer gets snatched into the hole. and horribly, the Gasorpasorps, or Gasorpians, are clearly trying to rape her. I mean, they think that she's one of the sex robots, I think, right?
Close enough anyway. They don't care.
Yeah, close enough. And Rick intervenes, kills them all. Summer wants to go home. But, of course, Rick's portal gun gets broken. And Rick says, great, now I have to take over a whole planet because of your stupid boobs. okay, Rick, blaming the women for men's violent actions. Like, Thank you. Here we go. strap on.
Oh, now I'm listening. What?
Yeah. Oh, now you are? You haven't been listening to the whole time?
You lost me, but you brought me back with strap on.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Fun times. Anyway, I love that Rick is only mildly annoyed that he has to take over a whole planet because of Summer's stupid boobs. I mean, ironic so sexism aside here, I think it's funny that Rick is in no way intimidated or worried by this prospect. He is only put out at the idea of having to expend any amount of effort, and also completely confident that with that effort, he will simply take over an entire planet to solve their problem.
Yeah.
Because he's a genius. Why wouldn't he just do that?
Why not?
It's the only thing I can do now. I just have to take over this planet. God.
So pretentious. So cut to.
Morty on the couch with his parents. Jerry and Beth have somewhat differing opinions on how to raise a child. Morty agrees that they're both fucking nuts, and Beth basically wants to neglect the baby Jerry wants to fill it with his insecurities. Another good burn from Jerry here. He says, well, we can't all be raised like reptiles by a mentally ill scientist. I'm like, damn, he's not as dumb as he sounds most of the time.
He's a little sharp in this one.
He is pretty dumb, but he gets some good ones in there sometimes. Morty says, fuck y'all, I'm a raisin by my damn self, and turns on some TV.
Immediately turns on the TV. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, yep, there's my generation right there, raised by the TV.
There we go. All right.
And there's some crappy children's programming with some guy that
creepiest.
Looks like...
the creepiest. So creepy.
He looks like he's on a fistful of acid shrooms.
He does! His pupils are huge!
His pupils are so dilated, it's amazing. And he's singing, where's your hands? There's your hands! That's how we play handy hands.
And it kind of reminded me of that. I don't think you've seen it. Well, just for the future reference, in season 5 of Angel, there'll be an episode that's gonna connect to this song. You'll see.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Season 5, huh? Of Angel?
Yeah.
All that I remember from season 5 is a dragon and puppet Angel.
Well, that's the episode I'm referencing.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I can't wait.
There you go.
That's easily the best episode of Angel that ever happened.
Specifically the scene where Spike realizes that he's a puppet and he's like, you're a bloody puppet! And then they start like fighting and it's hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is the equivalent of Once More with Feeling for Angel.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's the episode of Angel.
So then where were we? Cut back to
Gazorpazorp, the planet, anyway. And seemingly in a matter of moments, Rick has the Gazorpians bringing him sackfuls of broken sex robot parts, and he's using them to repair his portal gun. One of them makes a charge at Summer, and Rick backs him off with his laser gun. Back off, dum-dum. Go get more parts. Do it. And then he yells at Summer for not wearing her burqa, which she complains is a human rights violation, as if that applies on a planet in the Andromeda system. Rick complains that he has to do his repairs one-handed to fend off the Gazorpians from raping her constantly. He doesn't say it that way, but I'm saying it. We're tackling the hard questions here on Wubble Up a Pod Pod. You're welcome.
Yes, we are. You're welcome.
So, you know, the least she could do is be ashamed of her gender. Okay. Again... shouldn't be funny, but it is.
let's just allow ourselves to laugh at these guys. It's fine.
Yeah. And I've got some shit to talk about at the end of the episode about the gender themes throughout this episode, which aren't quite as woke as I think he intended them to be when they wrote this episode, or when Dan Harmon wrote this episode specifically.
Yeah. So, okay. So Summer questions how this world came to be, which then Rick replies with, do you have the entire quote?
Do you have what?
The entire quote.
Probably. Give me a second here. She wants to know how backwards sausage fest planet managed to invent robots. Rick has a fairly plausible story for it. They used to be hyper advanced, but they built the robots to rule out women so that they were able to concentrate on nothing but war, then bomb themselves back into the Stone Age and fight with each other over fake tits with sticks and rocks all day long. Summer complains that he thinks it's efficient to get rid of women, and Rick's argument is terrible but priceless, in my opinion.
This is one of the first times that Rick kind of like condescendingly answered Summer. Because he started this whole entire quote with like, obviously, this is what happened. And he does that a couple more times.
Right. Yeah. As if he knows because he's just like, so smart.
Duh. The only possible way that it could have happened is this way. And it's like,
and to be fair, with the given information that he had, that seemed like a likely scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But given new information,
we will learn otherwise.
I thought Rick's argument was hilarious when Summer's like, so you think it's efficient to get rid of women? And he says, he just snaps without pause. You ever see a line for the men's room? Huh? Summer, do you understand what I'm saying here?
And listen, He's not wrong. Okay, and, I just came back from when I came back from when I how do you say onboarded, deboarded? When I got off the plane, I was dying to pee.
Yeah, I forget.
And I went to the, I got to the restroom, and of course already, and I was one of the first ones to like get off the plane. And of course already there was a fucking line out of the restroom to the women's restroom, but the men's restroom was just like, la, la, la. And I'm like, technically I can use both. Okay. Mm. Because I'm non-binary. So suck it.
Yeah. There you go. Technically, but, we can all use both at any point in time, really. It's not that big a deal.
It is not.
Sometimes I just duck into the women's room. Usually it's not a public one, though. It's like a single room type situation. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm just using the women's room.
Bite me. If you have to or whatever. It's not a big deal. Yeah. But my point is that like Rick is not wrong with his argument. Like, there is, why is there always a line? Well, because you guys have the fucking urinals and you can just whip it out and it takes you less time. It's like less of a hassle. Like, it's part of it. Whatever. Yeah. Fuck you guys.
I have seen a line for the men's room, though, but it was an intermission for a show where there were thousands of people there. So I don't think it really counts. Or at a smaller show. But again, it was a show, but it was they only have one bathroom and it's only one toilet stall and one urinal.
Yeah.
And so you're literally like standing right behind the one guy that's peeing at the one urinal. And then when it's your turn, I've never had more shy bladder in my life. Like, there's like eight people standing right behind me waiting
like,
to
like, hurry the fuck up. And you're like,
this one fucking urinal. And I'm like, I can't. Oh, God. One time I literally couldn't, and after standing there for like 3 minutes, I finally just zipped up and I was like, I'm gonna go find somewhere else to pee. All right.
Out by a tree is fine. I do have to pee. Speaking about peeing, I have to pee right now and I need to refill my beer, so be right back.
Neat.
I believe bird person can arrange that.
Go have some fun out there, bird person.
It's unwise of me to share these details, but I've become inebriated. They are designed to attract the attention of the female.
It's working.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Sorry, there was a line in the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
Giggity.
That's unfortunate. And unlikely.
Sadly, there are no more beer in my household. There is no more beer in my household, so...
I have several. Would you like one?
Oh, thank you. Yes. I will wait for it patiently until it gets here in like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, I'm not using the expedited shipping. That's just silly.
So 10 to 12 business days? Got it.
At least. Yeah, it's going to be broken and hot.
Yeah. And when I open it, it's going to explode. Perfect.
No, it'll already have long since exploded. Oh, great. Well along its journey of entropy.
Okay. So, where were we?
Dropping loads.
Dropping loads, yeah.
Dropping loads.
I have it right here. So Rick and Summer jump into the giant head spaceship with the inseminated sex robots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a sentence. That's a sentence.
That's a loaded sentence. Lots of loads in that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Semen.
Thank you.
Come.
All right. So Rick says, please stop.
No.
So Rick says, obviously, again, oh my God. Are you done?
All right, fine.
Okay.
Wait. Okay, now I'm finished.
Oh my God. Did you finish?
Like the turtle from the video.
I don't know.
You haven't seen that? There's a video of a turtle coming. That's the noise.
Oh no!
He's so cute. He's just like.
Stop.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So Rick says, obviously, Summer. It appears the lower tier of this society is being manipulated through sex and advanced technology by a hidden ruling class. Sound familiar?
Sound familiar? Yeah, I don't know. I've never used Ticketmaster.
She's like, ah, oh, Ticketmaster.
Yeah. Oh, and I did want to ask the hard question here. After they attach to the orb and fly up into the mouth of this ship that looks like a floating head, it says, yeah, baby, yeah, baby, and which I can only assume is an extremely outdated Austin Powers reference. Are they trying to placate the men by making bad Austin Powers references?
Perhaps.
I feel like that's where that was going, but I couldn't really be sure. I mean, they've already referenced Red Dragon. They referenced Insane Clown Posse, which they dated themselves was 2003. Yeah. Red Dragon was 2002. So Dan Harmon's just full of old references because he's an older guy, and that happens. Not that I would know. No experience. Personally, hello, children, who I am definitely still one of.
Yeah, no cap.
Hello, fellow children. Yeah.
On God.
Anyway, Ticketmaster. So two cloaked figures walk up to them. Rick's stumbling over his words as he tries to greet them, but in, you know, his characteristic casual way. Not like he's nervous or anything. They reveal themselves as female Gazorpians after he's been calling them bro this whole time and dude. And they immediately Jedi choke the shit out of him. Not that he doesn't deserve it. And they offer to kill him for Summer unless he's permitted to be her slave because she happens to be from a less evolved world. And,
where they can still have male slaves. Yeah.
Yep. But
she's like, he's my slave. He's my slave. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, he's definitely my slave.
Definitely.
And
that's when Rick says the phrase again. Hello.
Blah, blah, yeah, blah, he blah, just blah. Keeps talking about our podcast.
He just can't stop talking about it, guys.
Blah, 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 pod. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? Takes a swig from his flask. You know, he's got to drink his smart juice.
Mm-hmm. But he does say, what's the opposite of wubba lubba dub dub? And my question to you, Josh, is what is the opposite of wubba lubba dub dub? Or pod pod?
Bud bud abble abu.
Okay.
Bud bud abble abu.
Okay.
Got it.
There you go. Nailed it. You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cut to the living room where Morty's playing with Morty Jr. And he says his first words. It's so adorable. Death, destruction, and domination. And Jerry's just a catty, judgy little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He just sits there and flicks his newspaper. Nice. All right. Yeah, like you can do any better, Jerry. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, Jerry. Okay.
Okay. Gary,
okay.
Okay.
back to Gazorpazorp.
Yeah, and we're now at the Gazorpazorp Utopia Metropolis. I don't know. They call it a paradise. And then you can hear the fucking speaker woman say, like, the spider in Sector C is still alive. Plan your route accordingly and expect delays. We are not telling you what to do. We are just sharing our feelings.
You need to get a job as a voice actress doing a voice actor. Yeah, just do announcements. Yeah. That was great. You should do
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thanks. I'll consider it if everything else goes wrong.
That pays well if you can find the right market for yourself.
Mm.
That sounded great. I would Thank expect you. To hear your voice in an airport, and then I would do what you said.
Okay. I will put this little clip in my resume.
Fantastic.
And then she also adds the is anyone else cold or is it just me? Ha ha. And can I just say,
so as a weather report.
Right. Right. That was like, and now weather. Like, but I do want to point out here, it's funny how I used to be a person who was always like, I would get cold very easily. But then
you ate a hamburger.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But then last weekend when I was in Mexico City with my friend, shout out to Dora, we were out and about And at night, it gets even, like, it gets kind of cold. But I was just, like, to me, it was just, like, very comfortable. Like, yes, it was, like, kind of, like, with a breeze, but it was, like, enjoyable, nice breeze. You know, I wasn't, like, freezing. But Dora kept telling me, like, I'm fucking freezing. I should have brought my sweater, blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, huh. Is it because I'm non-binary and she's the woman and that's why she's cold and I'm not anymore? Or could it be that I've adapted to the temperature in Colorado, which now to me, cold is cold and like that cold.
Are you claiming to be a northerner now?
Because I might be.
Because you lived in Colorado for what? Was it two years?
2 years. Yeah, two years. And yep. I think now my inner temperature has like shifted a little bit.
Who knows? It's possible.
It's probably the non-binary thing.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be it. I can't think of any other plausible reason.
Right? Science.
It works, bitches. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So then what happened? Oh, they meet Masha. So is it Marsha or Masha? What's her name?
You're already further along than me. I didn't catch that at all.
I didn't have like English subtitles, which I didn't like. Just because I'm in Mexico, I can't have English subtitles. What the fuck, bro?
Well, that's lame.
So yeah,
there's not even an option. I feel like you can normally choose different languages for the subtitles.
You normally can in the U.S., but here in Mexico, they only assume that we need Spanish subtitles or Brazilian, like Portuguese. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay. So yeah, they meet like the leader of this paradise, Masha, I think. That's what I heard. Ruler of Gasorpasorb.
Yeah, I missed her name entirely.
She immediately says, I am here if you need to talk. And that's kind of like their little phrase. Like they keep saying that.
I really like that, actually. It feels very supportive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a really nice thing to say to people. And I would hope that it's actually true.
Yeah, saying genuine. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, it's just more bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not and really a utopia. No.
Exactly. Mm. Fake utopia. No.
Fake-topia.
And then she starts explaining, you know, about their paradise. We built it during the Great Passive Aggression. I love that line. Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
The Great Passive Aggression.
I mean, it's also a little... a lot of this is kind of condescending and misogynistic.
It is.
But it's also funny.
Most of it is. But yeah, it is funny. It's like, you know, it's just a lot of stereotypes of what women are. And I think it's like of the time when this was created. I'm not sure what year it was.
Well, apparently it got some pretty bad criticism for his observations of
gender politics
being pretty dated.
When it was created, yeah. And
there was a lot of whiplash I guess, what's the term? It didn't go over as well as he hoped it would.
Yeah.
And it's this is actually one of Dan Harmon's least favorite episodes because it's one of the fans' least favorite episodes by the numbers.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't hate it because of that. I hate it because I hate the fucking arms coming out of the Gazorpians' heads. I fucking hate them.
Too many arms for Josh, people.
Too many goddamn arms. And also because of the green goop that was all over Morty Jr. when he was bored. It's fucking gross. Do you mind?
Icky.
Clean your babies before you put them on camera. Thank you very much.
Okay. God. Have you ever witnessed a real birth, Josh?
No.
We can tell. All right. So she goes on explaining how the females were separated from the males due to the males being increasingly destructive behavior. She tells him how they dispense mechanical surrogates. That's what she calls the sex bots.
Surrogates.
To maintain the population. This is funny to me because like that's like a popular question amongst feminists, I think, or just people in general who are like, like, oh, like if the world was like only females or only women, then how would you fucking procreate and blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's always like the counter argument of like, it wouldn't be possible because you need the semen to procreate and you need penises. And it's like, well, this is one way we could do it. Just mechanical surrogates.
Whatever. Well, it's long since been proven that you can synthesize a human embryo with two, what is it, Y chromosomes, the female chromosome, but you cannot with two X chromosomes.
There you go.
So two women can make a baby, can synthesize a baby, but two men cannot.
There you go. Science.
There it is. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. So then she goes on to say that the females are placed into educational programs where they can discover a service to our paradise that fulfills them most. And here I'm like, okay, it sounds very like pretty and fancy and stuff, but like what? Like I'm a rebel by heart and I hate rules and being constricted or whatever. So I'm like, what if somebody doesn't want to do anything of service for this paradise? Like, would they let them?
I feel like that would be totally fine with them. They probably have an entire sector dedicated to that.
To that, yeah.
Call them artists or something.
I mean, hopefully, yeah. Call them artists, yeah. And then she's like, and the males, they get to play outside. And they just like fucking launched a baby, like catapulted him out into the world. And Summer's like, oh, that was just a baby. And she's like, well, in one day he will be a full male Gazorpian adult, one of the most aggressive, violent creatures in the universe.
Rick quickly interrupts. What were you going to say?
No, just like, okay, so like we're establishing that kind of like the innate nature of these male Gazorpians is just violent and aggressive.
Yep.
That's all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rick interrupts that they're here because a male Gazorpian was just born on their planet, Earth, of course. Summer, of course, punishes her slave for his insolence. She smacks him down like a motherfucker. Yeah. But then corroborates his story.
This is a TikTok sound. I just want to say it because it's a TikTok sound. Mm-hmm. The whole line of like, you speak when you're spoken to, dingling. It's true, though. One of your babies was born in Earth. And then she goes, are you the ruler of this Earth? How did you know the quality of your top? Do you love it? I love it. I'm here if you need to talk. I'm here if you need to talk.
Yeah.
End of TikTok sound.
Yeah, she would love it there. I'm sad for her that she didn't get to stay, but she could really technically go back anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, they agree that Earth is in grave danger, and they'll give them passage back home so it can be terminated, the baby, of course. But first, mojitos.
Hey.
I don't see what's wrong with that. Seems like Rick, if anybody, would agree with that. But he hates it there, and he wants to go home. And then Rick lets the frogs out.
Oh, my God. That was the longest, loudest fart.
I know, right? Let's see if I can still do this. I haven't done it since I was a kid.
Oh, my God.
Oh. That's the best I can do for now.
Okay. You're welcome. So, yeah, while he farts, there's a lot of scenes of, like, the entire paradise just kind of, like, stopping in their tracks. And everybody just like, oh, my God, ew. And there's like a big wide shot of the whole paradise. And I gotta say, a lot of boob shapes, like mountains and stuff in the paradise. It's just the boobs are like a main theme here. Just saying.
Well, everybody loves boobs.
I mean, can't argue with that.
Don't you like boobs, Alex?
I love boobs. All kinds, all sizes.
Yeah.
All textures.
Excellent. So why don't you go live there on Gazorpazorp, huh?
Well, I don't know how they... Well, I guess I could start like... Because it doesn't exist. Oh, yeah, that's right. God damn it. So after the fart, this is when Summer kind of ruins everything by saying, Grandpa! Oops. They're like, Grandpa, yeah. Oh my God, that sounds patriarchal.
Yeah, they recognize that this is a patriarchal word and shit hits the fan. They start by choking Vader, choking both of them this time after Summer makes a poorly timed point that men and women are not totally equal on Earth.
They make 70% of their salaries as the same job.
Yeah. Rick tried to bail them out of it and be like, well, no, no, men and women are equal on Earth. She's like, yeah, no, not quite. Oops.
Well, this is the best time to make this point. Like, kind of. It's always the best time to make this point, but maybe except this time.
Maybe except this time. Yeah. Yeah. So back to the living room of the Smith house. Morty Jr. has made an adorable little drawing of death and war and destruction, etc. Blood, lots of blood. Morty tries to redirect his attention to a kid's show where they're dancing, but Jr. wants to go outside because that's where the people and the dogs are. I don't know what he wants to do to these people and the dogs, but I can only assume it's not good. Mm-mm. Morty lies that the air outside is poison for him and he'll die immediately if he ever goes outside.
So this is the like ethical conundrum that I want to discuss because I feel like this is a lot of like, you can see it from the point of view of like, oh, you know, parents lying to their kids to protect them or to protect others or whatever. But how right or wrong is it to keep your kid inside and like locked up essentially? But like in this specific situation, I feel like it's warranted because he's just trying to prevent his kid from like murdering and destroying the world.
Yeah.
But
in this very literal context that the child is an alien on a planet that does not accept aliens, we still call humans aliens if they don't have the right paperwork.
Oh my God.
So we can't even, well, definitely can't accept literal aliens from, you know, extraterrestrial beings. And especially not a super fucking violent one. So I think Morty did the best he could here, really.
Yeah.
Which is rarely a thing that I say about TV parents.
True. But if this wasn't this situation, like this situation in the real world, I feel like it does happen a lot. And that's when it's kind of fucked up. It's a lot of fucked up. So that's, it's funny. It's like a little mind fuck that you get with this situation.
Yeah, it absolutely definitely would fuck a kid up, even an alien kid. And I think that's a funny way that they play the this concept off on itself.
Yeah.
It'll fuck you up no matter what. Isolation and wrongful imprisoning.
And then with the next thing that happens, kind of imposing stuff on your kid. Like, why do we love to dance? Because I said so! Like, that's... Like, why do we go to church? Because I said, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I had to push back on that one at a fairly young age.
Yeah.
And be like, no, that's
not a reason. That's not a reason.
We're not going to do that anymore. You do what you want. I'm not going to go to that.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be part of your death cult. So Beth and Jerry, both of them this time are reading newspapers and they're both like, nice.
Nice.
Judgy cunts. Whatever.
So judgy.
Back to Gazorpazorp. They're in court. Rick and Morty are following behind. There's just a line of people going up to the judge.
They're coming right out of titties. Did you see that?
I didn't.
They're coming out of the nipples of the titties. I'm telling you.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Of course it is. This is definitely... I hate to say it, but it's definitely a man's interpretation of what a women's utopia would be like.
It is. That's what it is. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Because if it was a man's utopia, it would probably still be all tits, actually.
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. Do you know what cis semper columnium means?
Nope.
That's where it's like written on the...
I remember seeing it written, but I don't know what it means. Yeah.
I looked it up, like, I was like, Latin. So, cis, I think it's just directly, like, sister, cis, you know? Mm. And then, semper calumniam means always slander.
Huh.
So, okay. Again, male's gaze, I think. Male gaze.
That seems a bit rough. I feel like if this were an actual women's utopia, it would, I don't know if we could assume that there's a lot more lesbians, like a higher percentage than there normally would be. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there would just be a lot of very suggestive looking flowers instead of everything being literal tits.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, my God. You know lesbians.
I do.
We use flowers a lot to. Mm. Yeah. There we go.
It looks like a vagina.
It does. So Bad Bang Babe says, like, so what are you in for? Classic line. And Rick is like, oh, because I got, you know, I got a big, you know, penis between my legs. Isn't that, how does it feel, Rick? How does it feel to
learn a lesson, maybe, yeah. Except not really.
No.
And she gets sentenced for having bad bangs. She gets sentenced to the silent treatment.
The worst.
Clearly, sentence. It's clearly not the worst crime. Because Summer and Morty, or Summer and Rick. Geez, I was saying Rick and Morty before earlier, but Summer and Rick. So she's freaking out. She's like, oh, no, not the silent treatment. Will you talk to me? No. Oh, no.
Jackie. Yeah.
But yeah, for Rick, they get sentenced to death for making the sound that they do not speak of because it does not exist. And the judge lady gets pissy, or somebody gets pissy, because Rick guessed at what the boulder was going to do. Oh my God, are you going to crush us with a boulder? And she's like, well, no. It's actually going to fall on a lever that flings knives. Okay, actually, yes, it is just going to crush you, and I didn't want to admit that you were right. Like, yeah, and that really is just a really shitty stereotype of women.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so they're about to have a boulder fall on them. Rick's just kind of accepting his fate. Nothing he can do, but Summer bails them out. She has a nice little epiphany.
I want to mention that he sort of apologizes to Summer, because in the apology, quote unquote, he mm-hmm. still blames Summer. He's like, oh, I'm sorry you had to get snatched and like we ended up in this situation. And then he's like, oh, but I really do love that top, blah, 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 which then...
Yeah, he did try to at least say something nice to her. Yeah, she has a nice little epiphany. She realizes her top was designed by a gay man, which convinces them that not all men are terrible, and they let them go home, where men and women are kind of equal, but not really.
They're really.
And Rick is trying to happily thank them, and he's just burping constantly while he's talking, and she's like, get them a ship faster!
Now, get the fuck out of here. I love how, like, they refer to Marc Jacobs as, like, these are names of the penis.
Yeah. Marc
and Jacob. Josh, my question is, are you happy with your name of the penis?
You know.
Which I've is always Josh. Been,
yeah, I've always been pretty whatever about it.
About it?
But I can't think of another name that I would much prefer. I mean, my middle name is Michael, and that's pretty common, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, I don't like the stupid nicknames that people come up with for Josh. Hello.
There we go. Okay, come on. Hey!
Whoa!
Oh my God. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
my Wi-Fi had a little hiccup, but we're back.
Little. That was a big hiccup. Okay. So the last question you asked me was, how do I feel about my penis name?
Yes.
Yes. I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Everybody is always making the stupid joke. They think it's real clever to say, I'm just joshing you. But also, there's a funny amount of evidence that Josh is the modern day equivalent of Jesus.
Oh.
So, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord and Savior, Josh.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome.
Josh King. And your last name is King? Bitch.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, Jesus King.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. It's good you don't hate it.
Yeah. You know, I had to figure something out at some point in time if I really didn't like it.
So yeah, basically, I think you said the whole, like, they got sent back to Earth.
They get passage home. Yeah. They give them a ship and get them out of there the fuck as fast as possible. Cut back to the living room.
Where Morty Jr., teenage Morty Jr., is smoking, clearly rebelling.
And this is all still the same day. He's just growing up that fast.
Yeah, he's just growing up super fast. And Morty's like, you're smoking? Like, no, we can't do that, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not good.
What are you going to do, ground me? I can't go outside anyway. And I'm like, well, yeah. It's kind of hard to argue with that.
True. So Morty starts trying to suggest other things, like, you can play guitar, you can masturbate, like, again.
I don't want to masturbate. I'm like, yeah, that's not true. No. You don't just want to masturbate. That's really more closer to
accurate.
The truth. Accurate, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to masturbate. I want to conquer the planet.
Yeah, but Morty turns off the war documentary that he's watching on TV, and he declares that this TV is for cartoons and video games only. And Junior's like, I hate video games. You take that back! And they fight over the remote. Yeah. Morty pushes back at Morty Jr., who looks really upset, you know, like a normal kid would if they suddenly had an unexpected physical event with their dad.
But I'm confused because doesn't Morty Jr., about violence? Yeah.
That's why it's so confusing to me.
Yeah.
And he must be so confused.
It might have been his human part because he is part human.
That's true. He's half human, yeah.
So maybe that's why. And then so he's like, oh, I'm sick of this. Like, I can't live here anymore, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he decides to just fuck it and goes. Like, he's like, I'd rather breathe poison than stay here another second.
Runs outside.
Steps outside.
Into the poison. Mm-hmm. Poison air. But it's not.
Ta-ta-ta.
It's not poison. And he runs down the street spouting all the obvious lies that the government tells us, like Thanksgiving is about killing Indians, and Christmas was a pagan holiday. I don't know when he learned those things, but okay. He's probably watched a lot of TV today, really.
A lot of History Channel.
Mm-hmm. Cut to Jerry's office, where Morty is begging Jerry in a panic to help him find Morty Jr. before he takes over the world. Or at least murders the whole world. I guess it's kind of the same thing. Jerry does the stupidest bit I've ever seen. He takes a deep sip from a tall glass of I Told You So.
And he literally takes a sip. Like, he's like, gloop.
He mimes
gloop.
It. It's
gloop. Oh my gosh, shut the fuck up. I slap him in the face.
I feel so bad for Morty in this moment. I'm like, this is your dad. You should be very embarrassed right now. I'm so sorry. But he's like, come on! And at some point, I imagine Jerry gets his head out of his ass and gets in the car and starts driving around. Meantime, we cut to, I don't know, is he in a parking garage or an abandoned factory or something somewhere in a warehouse? I don't know.
I think this is a Flashdance reference.
Right? I thought it was a reference
to Footloose.
It's Footloose reference.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because the only thing his dad ever really taught him is to love dancing, and so he does still have that built into him, even though he also wants to destroy and maim and dominate. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen Footloose, you get it. If you haven't, you don't. I'm not recommending that you go watch it. It's not that great of a movie. I don't think it aged well. But if you like Kevin Bacon, have at it.
Sure, why not?
So he dances. He dances his rage out because he's so mad he's just got to dance. And also rampage down the street, destroying everything, including lampposts and cars. Morty and Jerry follow the path of destruction. They run into Junior, almost literally. He's got his hands on the hood of the car. Jerry and Morty jump out real quick. Morty talks Morty Jr. down. He's like, no, it's dad! And then gets him to put the car down by singing Handy Hands.
Yeah. That creepy song, save the day, I guess.
Hang on. I have to remove a cat.
Oh my god! Cat removal. Cat removal.
He's been over-grooming himself, and he was sitting behind my monitor just hacking away at himself and bouncing my fucking whole-ass monitor. I'm like, okay, buddy. All right. How about new?
Too intense.
Anyway, he's holding the car, and he handy hands and he drops the car and destroys it. Even though he was trying to set it down gently. Oh, well. I mean, when you've got the car lifted vertically up over your head like that, there's no way the car's getting out of it okay.
No. Jerry just cares about his car. He's like, my car! I'm like, how about your son? And technically grandson. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he cares so much about the grandson. Mm-hmm. But
at all.
Morty's fine. He's really the only thing he has to worry about here is the car, honestly, if you ask me. I mean, do you care about Morty Jr.?
Not much.
Not much, yeah.
I mean, exactly. He's fine.
The fucking arms in the head, I hate it. Can't do it. Is that just racist of me? Am I just a big old racist?
Oh my god, you're being racist against an alien.
So racist.
How dare you?
Yep.
Canceled!
Ah! Jeez. And I did all that work. Oh well.
Oh, well.
You know, we can probably get a bigger audience after being canceled, but it's not really the audience that we want.
No.
Anyway, Rick lands in the spaceship, a pink spaceship, not his spaceship, and goes to shoot Morty Jr. with his zap-zap thingy. That one right there. Mm-hmm. And Morty stands in the way and tells him he'll have to kill him, too. Morty has a little heart-to-heart with Morty Jr. where he realizes that he did all the same bullshit that his parents did to him and that he hated. He lied to him, he yelled at him, and realized his parents are just kids having kids. And fuck, ain't that the truth.
When did you realize that parents are just kids having kids, Josh?
I think when I was like 10.
Oh my god, that's early.
Yeah, that's really early. I didn't have a great childhood.
Sad.
I got in one too many arguments with my mom where I'm like, you're not making any sense at all.
Mm.
How am I parsing this out?
I mean,
better than
I also
you?
Had a lot of arguments with my mom that like she didn't make any sense, but I didn't realize that she was just a human until about maybe 10 years ago. Mm. In my 20s.
Yeah, no, that full realization didn't really sink in until probably, yeah, my late 20s, early
late
30s.
20, yeah, mid-20s, late 20s. Oh, well.
That's about where that happens. Mm-hmm. Poor Morty Jr. He's I'm so confused. Yeah, he would be. Because he just wants to murder everyone all the time. But luckily, Brad Anderson, creator of Marmaduke, is there to give him a little motivational speech about how he's haunted by thoughts of mutilations and sexual assaults on a daily basis. And he should consider being a creative. Because, you know, that's how he channels all of his shit into
his healthy output.
Yeah, into Marmaduke. And Morty's like, wow, I never got that impression from reading Marmaduke. Did you get the impression I was trying to make you laugh? And then he just walks off.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. Well, that works out great because Junior wants to write a novel. So he fucks off to get his own place and promises to call every day that he needs money or a place to do laundry.
Yeah.
Jerry still only worried about his car. So I suppose that your son's novel is paying for my rear axle. I'm like, there's a lot more wrong with your car than the rear axle right now, Jerry. It's totaled. Yeah. You're fucked.
It's totaled.
Sorry, not sorry.
Then Rick points out how after all they did, nothing really mattered and there was no point to it.
Yeah, it's so ironic.
It's very meta of like the entire show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is very much a entire show theme that runs along many
times.
It's
kind of a cop out ending if you ask
me.
Oh,
it's very much a cop out. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, so then Rick says, like, he goes, I'd say given all that we've been through that I was right the whole time and any epiphany about gender politics was just a projection of your feminine insecurity. Which I'm like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So kind of Summer was like, are you a changed man? Basically, she was like, are you changed about your opinion of like going on adventures with chicks? Like, did this whole thing show you that like women have value? And Rick was like, meh, kind of not.
Yep. Nope. It's
nah.
Yeah, he just throws his whole what little observations he made down the toilet with that whole comment. It kind of seems like it's not word salad, but it's still kind of hard to parse any real meaning out of that sentence.
Yeah.
I was right the whole time. What was he right about? What was he arguing? That women should be ashamed of their gender and that they should never be allowed to come on adventures? That was his whole argument. Mm-hmm. So the epiphanies about gender politics, I thought he made the best point at the very beginning of the episode about a lower tier of class being controlled by sex and advanced technology by a hidden upper class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily gender politics so much as it is just politics.
Yeah.
And that one actually kind of articulated really well an observation about how Earth, honestly, at least the United States, definitely actually really works. Everything's all super over-sexualized, but you're also made to feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird dichotomy this whole time of, you should want this, but you can't have that, but you should want this. You know? And so you're just being controlled and manipulated constantly through sex that you're accessing with advanced technology that is only made available to you because of elites who are investing in making sure that this is going down this way. Mm. And now I'm just sounding like a crazy conspiracy theorist.
But is it crazy?
Is it super crazy? That's just what they want you to think.
Give us a call at
269-743-0783.
Hey.
So
share your conspiracy theory with us.
Yeah, or just tell us what you think about this one fucking sentence. Yeah. I was right the whole time, and any epiphanies about gender politics were a projection of your feminine insecurity. What does that mean to you about this episode? I actually want to know. That number again is 269-743-0783. And that's country code 1 if you're calling from anywhere else. It's a U.S. number. It's a U.S. number. Right. And so he gives Summer the pink spaceship that we never see again. And he's so mean about the way he says it. He's like, well, maybe that'll shut you up. And nevertheless, Summer smiles at him. And I guess they're just so used to Rick being a mean douchebag that they realize that actions speak louder than words and that he's just not capable of saying nice things. And so they have to interpret things weirdly when he's actually being a big ol' softy.
Correct.
And this is one of those moments, I guess, kind of. So Rick uses Beth's activities of reading a newspaper as a lead-in to make the noise that we do not speak of because it does not exist. Everyone laughs. Rick says the name of our podcast again. It's a pretty good publicity, if you ask me.
Hey.
And he...
So three times. He does say it three times.
At least three. At least three. And he breaks the fourth wall again. Like it's the end of a bad sitcom. Because it kind of is.
See you guys next week.
Yeah. Roll credits. And then the... what do you call these scenes at the end of
After
credits?
Credit scene?
Tag. Yeah. I think it's a tag.
Okay, it's a tag.
In the tag scene, they're in the living room. They're watching Morty Jr. on TV as he interviews for his novel, My Horrible Father. Cut back to Morty mortified. And Beth being supportive for a change, she really bounces back and forth. It's a thankless job, Morty.
You did the best you could.
Morty's just like, I hope he's eating enough. It's so sad. It's so sad. I feel so bad for him.
And then
it's a good show. There it is. We did it.
Oh my god.
We did a terrible job of keeping under our time limit, but we did it.
Oh, terrible.
Absolutely mortifyingly awful job.
Doing
that. It's all right. I've had worse.
I'll edit it.
Yeah.
Just say what's in your squat.
I guess I'm having cock squatches.
Just say what's in your squat.
I squat my family. You're not squatchy enough for a squatchy, squatchy, squatchy party. I'm squatching in here!
We both took a minute to do a little bit of bullshit research on some fan theories, because that's our gimmick. That's what we do here on Wubble of a Pod Pod. Correct. And do you want to talk about what you found first?
Yes, I have one little one just about where did Morty's son go after this? And they're just saying that obviously because Gazorpians grow up and age at a very accelerated rate. That's probably why we don't see him again, because he probably died. Like how we see him on the tag or after credit scene as an old man already, kind of. So
that could be the next day for all we know. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So he probably died a couple of days later or that night or something, you know.
That's kinda
sad. I know. R.I.P. Mortimer Smith Jr.
I would buy that he died within a few years. I just got the impression that they have a hyper-accelerated adolescence, and then they become adults. I mean, the women don't die that quickly, you wouldn't think.
That's true. Maybe the hyper-accelerated growth, it's like until adulthood, and then at adulthood, they kind of slow down.
They level out, is kind of what I imagine. But it would make sense that it's a much shorter adulthood, like the lifespan of a dog, maybe.
Maybe. Huh, but that's interesting.
Still, you know, that would mean that he's not necessarily dead yet, even up to season 6.
Interesting.
But he would be older. He's definitely matured quite a lot just in this interview. That's probably a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks later at the tag.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, I'd say, maybe.
At the end of the episode.
So that's just because in this little article that I was reading this at, it was just later on, they make a big deal when they have the incest baby, the giant incest baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh my God, Morty's son, Morty's incest baby. But they're like, remember, he already became a father before. His first son, essentially, is Morty Jr., the Gazorpian slash human.
I wonder who the mother technically is. You know, are they just completely they have to be donating eggs for
to put into surrogates. The sex bot. Interesting.
Maybe they just don't keep track and we'll never know.
Probably.
I mean, we'll definitely never know. Canonically, would they at least know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess probably not. They probably don't give a shit. They gave up on men. They're just like, yeah, whatever. We need them for breeding. Other than that, they can live down there. Okay.
What did you find?
That is fun to think about, at least. So I found one half-cocked Reddit thread where it's titled "Raising Gazorpazorp and Rick's Care for Summer Theory." This is from 10 months ago, so it's a relatively new thing. It's not really a theory. It's kind of a theory. The theory is that Rick cares for Summer, and I feel like that's okay, yeah, he cares for Summer, and he cares for the whole family, except with strong exception of Jerry.
Right.
But they say, I think Rick's relationship with Summer is reflective of his willingness to move on from the past. Even after raising Gazorpazorp, Rick would take Summer to other dimensions, but not on adventures where she might be harmed. The whole keep Summer safe scenario of the Ricks must be crazy. We haven't gotten to that episode yet, but whatever. Tiny Rick episode. He does that all because he feels bad for shutting Summer down. And he, turns around and says, hey, let's do your thing about hunting vampires. And and then they end it with, now he basically won't do shit without her. Summer is the one he relies on to save his ass. He's less afraid of losing her, so he doesn't need to keep her bubble wrapped anymore. He's less afraid of losing her. Yeah, I think especially after the one where they go to the Apocalypto land where Morty gets the huge arm and Summer just needs to blow off some steam about their parents getting divorced or splitting up anyway. And she just goes fucking apeshit bonkers. I think that's really the episode where she comes into her own and Rick realizes that she can absolutely take care of herself.
Yeah.
And he starts trusting her. And that's kind of a callback to this episode where he actually really does reconsider his theory on whether or not girls should be allowed on adventures or not.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that's good character growth.
Yeah.
Really. And yeah, I mean, even a couple episodes from now, he's going to say, I can mathematically prove that you're both pieces of shit. and he wants them to believe that he doesn't care about either of them, but he very clearly does. And it takes him a minute longer to warm up to Summer. But I'm really glad that they do, because it would get really boring and repetitive if they didn't do something new and mm-hmm. have another factor in the mix. And I think Summer really rounds out the adventure triad a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like the more we advance through the seasons, she gets more involved in the adventures.
Much more involved, and I love it, every bit of
it. Yeah, and she's very competent and very, like, a badass, whatever.
she is. She's her mother's daughter, absolutely.
Yes, she is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I brought up a little bit during the episode was how Dan Harmon really hates this episode.
Yeah, that was the other thing that I found, that he hates it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in an interview, they ask him, what's your favorite episode? And he says, I can give you the least favorite episode. It's the one with the Amazonian women, referring to Raising Kazorpazorp. I was so proud while I was writing it, and then I read people's comments on how it felt stale and 80s in its observations about gender. And now I hate it, and I want it to die by fire. But that's because of people's reactions, or I would love it. Yeah, so I think that's just, that's interesting. I read the whole article, but I'm not going to read the whole article on here. You can find it, looks like it's published by cinemablend.com, and he talks a bit about that. It really was writing both sides of the spectrum, and not really in the middle. It was simultaneously actually woke, not in the shitty conservative definition of woke. Which is basically just, we're bigots and racists and proud of it. And this is a dog whistle. Not that woke, the actual woke, where they're just aware of racial and sexual injustices. So writing both sides of that and just being flat out misogynistic. And that alone is just impressive. How do you do that?
They do both at the same time. I'm not saying it's good. Keep hoping,
in the same way that one can argue that Hitler was a great man, he was a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he did anything good, but he was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be my argument for a lot of this show. I will never argue that the show is good, per se.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that that's not true. I will argue that the show is good, but there's lots of things that I cannot personally morally back up.
Correct. But I do love how it likes to play with paradoxes. And this is, I think, a good example of them doing that.
I completely agree. Paradox. Yeah. That's a great word
for it. And again, it's like, I feel like the only way to truly enjoy an episode like this is to not think about it too much and not get too serious about it and just enjoy the funny bits. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Also that.
Yeah.
Exactly. like he's got Dan Harmon has a very dated sense of humor that works for me because I grew up in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand why a lot of it is just self-deprecating misogynist swill, but that doesn't make it not tickle the funny bone, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like watching Friends now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Friends is now cringy as fuck.
Exactly, but like, I grew up watching it, and to me it's hilarious and it always will be, but I also acknowledge all the cringy and dated jokes and transphobic jokes and fatphobic jokes and all of that shit. I can see it. I'm aware of it.
Lots of fatphobic shit from the 90s. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Married with Children?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my God, so many fat jokes. So many.
Yeah.
Like nonstop. It's so bad.
No wonder we're like this now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, seriously. It's just, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
Yep. Good times. Mm-hmm. Well, you ready to call it?
Yeah. I think that was good. Solid. I liked it.
Okay. Okay. Good times. Good times. Don't forget to review us on iTunes. That's the number one best thing that you can do for us. Right now, we've only got 3 reviews. And mm-hmm. pretty sure 2 of them are me us. And Alex. and don't know who the 3rd one is, but they didn't leave a written review. You don't have to leave a written review, but we'll love you so much more if you do.
Mm-hmm,
and then we will also be able to enter you into a drawing to win a free Wubba Lubba Pod Pod hoodie.
This is news to me, but oh my God, yes, let's do it.
I do that for Beer with Buffy. Might as well sure. do it for Wubble Up a Pod Pod.
That's
if you'd
true.
Like to just buy a hoodie and support us by purchasing our products, you can head over to www.beerwithbuffy.com/shop, where we also host Wubble Up a Pod Pod merchandise. And I'm hoping that, you know, by the time people listen to this episode, that is actually true. Currently, that is not that is not actually true. I'm going to do that one of these days, though.
Yeah, I'll work on the designs. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. Well, I figure we can just slap the logo on there on some stuff for now.
Oh, yeah, we can start with the logo, yeah.
And it'll be fine. Yeah. More artwork would be great. But if you would like to financially support us without receiving some weird shit in the mail, just to be nice, you can do that at patreon.com/wubbleupapodpod. We have some different tiers that you can choose from that will affect a little bit of what you get. Check us out on our website. We're hosted by Podbean, but you can just go to www.wubbleupapodpod.com. Check us out on Instagram at wubbleupapodpod, Twitter, wubblepodpod, TikTok, at Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, twitch.tv/wubblepodpod. And we're on all your favorite free podcast platforms, yeah. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever. You can always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at wubblepodpod@gmail.com. Big shout out to Benjamin Alexander for all of our opening, closing, and transitional music. He is a musical genius. Weird guy. Just ran into him today, actually. Been a long time since I've seen him. this has been Wubble Up a Pod Pod. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Love you. Bye. See you next time.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
See you next week, guys. Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are the
yeah.
Lives depend upon
you. Boobs. Okay.
I make allowances for you, yes, but I expect a certain amount of responsibility, and instead of which you enslave yourself to this... cult?
You don't like the color?
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
You are the Slayer.
Go ahead. Pam.
I'm a watcher.
Done. Why are we watching this?